in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, our hearts and minds are open. We receive your engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. Thank you for enlightening the eyes of our understanding. Oh yes, flood the eyes of our heart with the light of revelation knowledge. Our eyes are anointed with eyesalves. Thank you for a seeing eye, a hearing ear, and a wise and understanding heart. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, clap your hands, O ye people. Clap your hands, O ye people. Clap your hands, O ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. Welcome to Throne of Grace Encounter Service. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lamentation 3:21, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceaseth. It says his mercy, they never come to an end. They are new every morning. There is fresh mercy available every day, just like there is fresh grace. Hallelujah. And in this Throne of Grace Encounter Service, we've come to encounter the God of mercy and the God of all grace. And we are living here with fresh impartations of the new grace of God and new dimensions of his mercy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been on a very important teaching series, Secrets of Supernatural Living. Yesterday we looked at the part four. Today we'll be looking at part five. Tomorrow, by God's grace, tomorrow's service is morning, is in the morning. Tomorrow we are meeting to pray corporately, and for the concluding part or penultimate part, hallelujah. Okay, the concluding part, even though the grand finale will be on Sunday, which is the last day of the fast. Glory to God. So we'll be concluding this series tomorrow. Hallelujah. It's by 9 a.m. the service. It's Saturday, and I think we break our fast earlier every Saturday, the 14 days of glory and fire. So after the service, we can break our fast. Glory to God. So, Secrets of Supernatural Living, Part 5, Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Next. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Now, all these signs that are ordained by God to follow a believer in Christ, to accompany or escort a believer, they are all supernatural in nature. They are all supernatural signs. casting out devils, that's expelling demons, speaking with new tongues, taking up serpents. Hallelujah. If they drink any deadly thing, immunity to poison, it shall by no means hurt them. Laying hands on the sick and ministering healing to the sick, recovery of their health, they are all supernatural signs. And God have ordained that these are the signs that should characterize a believer in Christ. Hallelujah. Yesterday we looked at the reason why God manifests his power, and then we started looking at the laws, the spiritual laws that govern or control or provoke or trigger the supernatural. Okay, these are the laws that govern, or you can use control or provoke or trigger supernatural manifestation. Is it the supernatural? Is not magical, neither is it mystical. Walking in the supernatural is not magic, is not a mystery. There are exact spiritual laws that govern supernatural operation, and we started looking at them yesterday. We took the first one, the first law. Help me. The law of what? The light of revelation knowledge. Very important. We said the revelation of the ways of God is what puts you in command of his supernatural miracles, signs and wonders. In Psalm 103:7, the Bible says God made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The children of Israel only saw the supernatural signs and wonders and miracles, the supernatural acts of God, but they did not know how it was produced. But God revealed it to Moses, and no wonder Moses was in command of the supernatural. Hallelujah. He worked so much in the supernatural. In fact, the Jews believe that apart from Jesus, there is no prophet that is greater than Moses in their history. Hallelujah. Moses was a man of supernatural signs and wonders. God used him mightily. Why? Because he had a revelation of the ways of God. In Exodus 33:13, he said, God, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way. And God answered that prayer. Glory to God. Matthew 16:19, God told Peter, he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we say those keys are in form of revelation knowledge of the truth. Revelation knowledge are the keys to supernatural operation. They give you the key. You assess and operate in the supernatural by using the key of revelation knowledge of the truth. Those keys are the secrets of the miraculous. Hallelujah. Then let me add to that, the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Christ is also the breeding ground for the miraculous. When you preach and teach God's word, it activates the supernatural. Mark 16:20, it said they went and preached everywhere, and the Lord has sent them. The Lord has sent the messengers with the message called the gospel. The Lord was walking with them. Now, as long as they were not preaching, the Lord was not walking. He says, the Lord was walking with them. Why? They were preaching his gospel. Am I communicating? When you proclaim God's word, when you preach God's word, when you teach God's word, it activates the supernatural power of God into manifestation. The Lord was walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. In Luke 5:17, Jesus was teaching. On a certain day, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law were in attendance. And the Bible says, as Jesus was teaching, the power of God, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. What provoked that healing anointing? What provoked the healing power of God? It was the teaching of God's word. There was a mighty healing presence and power activated through the teaching of God's word. So the teaching, the preaching and teaching of God's word is a breeding ground for the supernatural. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 8 verse 5, Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ. Did you notice? He preached Christ. He started by preaching Christ to them. And if you read down to verse 8, God confirmed his preaching with supernatural signs and wonders and miracles, deliverances, unclean spirit crying out. See, anytime you commit yourself to preaching and teaching God's word, God backs you up with the miraculous. Am I communicating? In Acts 14:3, it's a long time abode day, speaking boldly in the Lord, and the Lord gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by them. The signs and wonders that were done were a confirmation of the word that they were speaking boldly. Am I communicating? Glory to God. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "We all, beholding as in a mirror, as in a glass, the glory of God, are being changed into the same image." From what? Glory to glory. That's meditation. See, meditation is very, very, very powerful. When you learn to meditate on God's word, you walk. You are empowered through meditation to walk in the supernatural. Meditation is powerful. You see, as you contemplate, we all with open face, beholding. That beholding there, as in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, is talking about meditation. As you meditate, you are transported into that experience. Am I communicating? If you start gathering scriptures that has to do with the supernatural, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the ministry of Jesus, and then you add the book of Acts to it, if you take time to prayerfully study and meditate on those scriptures, I'm telling you, you will begin to walk in the supernatural. Am I communicating? As well, when you add fasting to it, it's a powerful, powerful law, the law of meditation. Whatever you meditate upon, you see, even the Buddhist monk, even the people in the kingdom of darkness, they understand the power of meditation. Haven't you seen Buddhist monk? They will sit down in one place, they will meditate until they release so much supernatural power that they can levitate like this. They can levitate from the power of meditation. Am I communicating? As you begin to meditate, as you contemplate on God's word, you contemplate on the miraculous as revealed in scriptures. Before you know, you begin to see visions of yourself walking in the supernatural. Before you know, power is released, because meditation releases supernatural energy, spiritual energy. And when you meditate on God's word, the Holy Ghost will transport you into that experience. The power of the Holy Ghost can be unlocked through meditation. Am I communicating? Very, very powerful. So you unlock power. You unlock the supernatural power of God when you spend quality time meditating on God's word. Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, speaking to yourself." And how do you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly? It's through meditation. "The entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple." In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Hallelujah. Very powerful. The second law that governs the supernatural is the law of love. The law of love. The law of what? Love. James chapter 2 verse 8. The law of love. Somebody say love. Love for God and love for humanity. You must love God and you must love what? Humanity. God does not have favorite, but he manifests his presence and power to those that are lovers of him. Those that love him more. Am I communicating? Yes. You know, the love of God for us, God's love for us is unquestionable. Is unconditional. It is everlasting. But question, this God that so loves you so much, do you love him? You need to reciprocate his love. You may not be able to love God to the same degree that he loves you, but he expects you to love him back. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Am I communicating? That's to tell you, even our love for him is a response to his love for us. Am I communicating? If ye fulfill the royal law according to scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Do you want to do well in the school of the supernatural? Walk in love. Apostle James calls the law of love the royal law. It is the royal law in the school of the supernatural. I say the law of love is the royal law in the school of the supernatural. Hallelujah. It's called the royal law. Very powerful. John chapter 14 verse 21. Look at what Jesus said. He that had my commandments and kept them, he it is that loveth me. Watch this. So the proof of love is obedience. Obedience is God's number one love language. Obedience is God's number one love language. God too has love language. Obedience. Obedience, keeping his commandments. If you love me, you will keep mom. If you love him, you will keep his word. So love is not just in word, it's in action. Am I communicating? You will be a doer of his word. You will obey his instruction. He that had my commandment and kept them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Can you see that? If you love Jesus, he said the Father will love you. And I will love him, Jesus too will love you, and will manifest myself to him. Look at that last part. God manifests his presence, his power. Do you want to enjoy the manifest presence of God, the manifest presence and power of the Holy Ghost? You want to see supernatural manifestation of his presence and power in your life? You must be a lover of God. That word manifest, it means to exhibit, to appear. You see, that is when you start having encounters, supernatural encounters. Not because you went seeking for them. All those visionary encounters, encounters with Jesus, encounters with the Holy Ghost and angels, it's not because you were seeking for it necessarily, but because you so loved God, and because of your love for him and hence in your life. You know, God is always attracted to lovers. He's now manifesting himself to you. Am I communicating? I say that word manifest means exhibit. It means to appear. You start having specially granted appearances, supernatural encounters, supernatural appearances. You see, God begins to show you things. Am I communicating? Then in verse 23, that same John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come, both me and my Father. In fact, the whole of Trinity will come and make our abode with him. We'll set up our headquarters. Am I communicating? You must have compassionate love. I spoke about compassion. It's still under love. It's one of the laws. Compassionate love. Love and compassion for suffering humanity. We unlock the flow of the rivers of God's miraculous power. I say love and compassion for suffering humanity. We unlock the flow of the rivers of God's miraculous power. It will undam the rivers of the anointing. Genuine love. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, look at it. Most of Jesus' miracles were motivated by his compassion for the sick. Compassion. Compassion. You see, when you have genuine compassion for those that are suffering, for those in pain, for people that are in need, you have compassion for their flight, for their plight. The Holy Spirit has a way of anointing you to bring supernatural solution to that problem that you have compassion for. Compassion for the sick is a gateway to the healing anointing. Compassion for the poor is a gateway to the prosperity anointing. Am I communicating? Compassion for those that are oppressed by the devil is a gateway to the anointing to bring deliverance to the oppressed. When you have genuine compassion to help people, God has a way of anointing you. Is attracted to any heart of compassion. It will anoint you to bring supernatural solution. For instance, if you have compassion for people that are suffering as a result of bad leadership, you are sick and tired of corruption and bad leadership and what it has done to the country, God has a way of anointing you to be a great leader that will now bring solution to that problem of bad leadership. Am I communicating? And Jesus went forth, Matthew 14:14, and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. He was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. Compassion will unlock the flow of rivers of the anointing. Look at that, Matthew 15, verse 32. You will see compassion there. Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. On the way, if you read down to verse 38, you will see the miracle of supernatural multiplication of the bread and the fish to feed the multitude. Now that provisional miracle, that display of the supernatural power of God to feed that multitude, was provoked by what? Compassion. The compassion of Jesus. The same thing, the miracle of raising the dead son of the widow woman at Nain, it was provoked by Jesus' compassion for that widow who had lost her husband previously. Now she just lost her son. Somebody say compassion. You must have a heart of love and compassion. The sufferings of others, do they move you? The plight of others, do they touch your heart? This is a major key to the anointing. It's a major key to the anointing. Hallelujah. I have a lot of compassion for people that are oppressed, people that are sick, suffering. I just hate to see people suffer. Anytime I see people suffering in any form, whether poverty or sickness or demonic oppression, I feel so terrible when I see them. You know, it touches my heart. And when I see people suffering in ignorance, I have compassion for them. Am I communicating? That's why I have a teaching ministry in addition to a miracle ministry. Because if you watch most people with an awesome, glorious teaching ministry that God have anointed to teach, they have passion to help impart knowledge. They hate ignorance with passion. They have compassion towards those that are living in ignorance. Anytime they see people living in ignorance, something is fired into their heart. So that's why God anointed them to bring supernatural revelation, light and understanding to those that are ignorant. Am I communicating? The next key. Number what now? What's the first law that governs the supernatural? Light of revelation knowledge. Number two, love for God and people. So you must love God, you must love people, you must have compassion for the suffering humanity. Okay, then the next one I will give you is prayers with fasting. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 to 14. Prayers with what? Fasting. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 to 14. Now, long story cut short, Jesus was led, after he was baptized at the river Jordan, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and then to be tempted by the devil. But thank God, before the temptation came, before the tempter came, he did something wonderful. The Bible says he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And that helped him. Because when Satan came with those temptations, his spirit was already strengthened. Am I communicating? And during that period of fasting, Jesus took time to pray and to meditate on God's word. And no wonder when Satan came, he kept saying, "It is written. It is written. It is written." Those scriptures that he meditated upon, that has become part of him, when he was praying and fasting, those scriptures started coming out. Am I communicating? His spirit man was strong and robust, so he could overcome that temptation. Then something else happened. Apart from prayer and fasting fortifying his spirit and strengthening his spirit to overcome satanic temptation and all of that, in verse 14, the Bible says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and the fame of him spread abroad. Then in verse 18, when he took that scroll and saw the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, this is the carpenter, Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter. But something has happened to him. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me." This was after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Am I communicating? Listen, prayer and fasting, if you are a child of God, you are born again and you have received the Holy Ghost, it is not prayer and fasting that gives you power. Mm-mm. Let me tell you what it is. The Holy Spirit is the source of the power. The Holy Ghost is the one that brings power into your life. If you have received the Holy Spirit, you have received power. Now, but here is the problem. If you don't know how to release that power, the power will just be in you in potential form. Now, you can carry the power, but you are suffering of sickness. You are even dying. That sickness can even kill you. You can carry the power, and yet demons are still oppressing you. Why? Because you have not learned how to release that power and use it. Am I communicating? And this is where prayer and fasting is important. It helps in the release. Somebody say release. Of that power that you already have. It unlocks the flow of the power. What does James 5:16b said in the Amplified Version? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power. Listen, that dunamis power you already have that is locked up in your spirit, when you start praying, heartfelt prayer, and then you boost the prayer with fasting, he said it will make that power available.
And it is available power that is usable. You can now use it to get things done. You can use it to produce supernatural results. It is that power that is available that will heal sick bodies, that will cast out demons. Am I communicating? That will bring about supernatural change of story, situation, and status. Konda barakatiza. Dynamic in its working. That power is like a dynamite. Dynamo. Dynamite is an explosive. See, the word dynamite is from the same Greek word, dunamis. It's from the same Greek word. Both dynamo and dynamite is from dunamis. Because the dunamis power of God is like an explosive. Am I communicating? It will blast the works of darkness. If you know about atomic bomb, nuclear weapons, you know how powerful they are in the physical. In fact, it is said that there are nuclear weapons right now that can destroy 76% of the world at once. As it will raise seven if they release them. That's how far technology has gone. What's the most dangerous element in the periodic table? Which one? That they use for nuclear weapons, to make nuclear weapons. Which one is the most dangerous? Uranium. No, there is one more dangerous than uranium. Plutonium. 500 grams of plutonium. It can destroy, when it explodes, it can destroy up to 2 million people. It can cause over 2 million deaths. Am I communicating? Uranium is also powerful and deadly. They use it for atomic bomb technology and nuclear weapons. But the most dangerous of them all is plutonium. You can go and Google about plutonium. Very deadly. That's in the physical. When they detonate all those nuclear fission, before you know, look at in 1945, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. How many of you remember the bombing when the U.S. dropped bomb in Japan, in Hiroshima, Nagasaki? If you see the kind of devastation that atomic bomb did, to the point that it is said that the survivors of those attacks, those that did not die, there was an aftermath of a lot of cancers, leukemias, that many of them, they suffered. Because of the effect of that nuclear missile, atomic bomb that was dropped there, it altered their DNA, affected all these P53 mutations and all of that. They came down with cancers and all of that. It is said that even till now, anybody that enters that place in Hiroshima and Nagasaki where they dropped the bomb, that your risk of having cancer increases to as high as 75% to 85% just by entering the atmosphere. That's to tell you that there are still particles of that nuclear weapon. Now, this is just in the physical. What about the atomic power of prayer with fasting in the supernatural? Am I communicating? So prayer and fasting helps you to detonate and release dunamis power in an explosive way. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and the fame of him spread abroad. Am I communicating? You need to know the atomic power of prayer with fasting. Fasting is a prayer booster. Glory to God. If you study the early church, it is said that the early church fasted every Wednesday and Friday. Is a fasting day. Today is what? Friday. The early church in the book of Acts, they fasted every Wednesday and every Friday. This is apart from Sunday service. Am I communicating? So fasting was a regular discipline of the early church. It was part and parcel of their spiritual activities. The Pharisees, those religious people of Jesus' day, They fasted twice a week too, the Pharisee, every Tuesday and Thursdays. The Pharisees fasted every Tuesdays and Thursdays. The early church fasted every Wednesday and Fridays. And the fasting is from sundown to sundown. It's not like our own. It's a 24-hour fast. Let me tell you how they fasted. I said the early church fasted every what? Wednesday. So, okay. This is how they start their own fasting. Wednesday and what? Friday. Today is Friday, right? Eh? When did you start your own fasting? 6 a.m. But their own started yesterday, Thursday, by sundown. Sundown is when the sun has disappeared and the light of the sun has disappeared with the sun. What time is it? 7. Let's say 7. Is it not 7 that you no longer see sunlight at all? Okay. Now, their own fasting for Friday started yesterday by 7 p.m. So, by Thursday, 7 p.m., fasting have started. So, you eat your last meal. If you want to eat, eat by 6 or so. You eat your dinner. So, once it is 7, fasting have started. You are not eating anything from 7 p.m. yesterday, that's Thursday, till 7 p.m. tomorrow. Tomorrow is what? Sorry, 7 p.m. today. That's 24 hours, right? So, you started 7 p.m. yesterday. You are breaking the fast 7 p.m. That is how their own fast is. The same thing. The Wednesday fasting, when will it start? Tuesday 7 p.m. Then it ends Wednesday 7 p.m. It's a total 24 hours fast. Maybe that's how we'll start our own fasting. Maybe the next fasting exercise, we'll try it. Ask your neighbor, have you not be so? We'll try them now. Hallelujah. John the Baptist was a man that lived a fasted life, and he commanded so much influence. In John chapter 5 verse 35, the Bible said John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light, and men were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Even though John the Baptist didn't have a miracle ministry, the Bible says he did no miracle, but he commanded supernatural influence and impact. Why? Because of the fasted life he lived. He was a man that fasted often, and his disciples fasted often, to the point that they were accusing Jesus' disciples that they were not fasting. Jesus said, do you make the people, the friends of the bridegroom, do you make them to fast when the bridegroom is still around? In other words, he's saying that my own fast I did, I covered for them. So they are, you know, grace is not cheap, but you can ride on cheap grace. But when you associate and connect by impartation, am I communicating? Jesus said, my own fasting has covered for them as long as I'm with them. He said, but the days are coming that the bridegroom shall be taken away. He said, those days they will fast. So question, is Jesus still with us physically? No, so we have to fast. Praise God. I say, praise God. You know, some people say Jesus has already fasted for you, no need to fast. He said he has already finished works, he has finished everything, including fasting. You the joke. Apostle Paul, the apostle of new creation reality. Do you know new creation reality more than Apostle Paul? Are you aware he's the one that God gave first hand the revelation of new creation? And the finished work of Christ. And then Apostle Paul, look at what he said. 2 Corinthians 6:5. He said he fasted often. He was a man of prayer and fasting. Apostle Paul, the one that brought us new creation reality. Look at it. He said in strifes, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. In plural, fastings, not once. Fastings. 2 Corinthians 11:27. You will see him again. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings, often. In hunger and thirst, comma. In fastings, often. In cold and nakedness. Thank God that he separated hunger and thirst from fasting. Because some people will have said, maybe that fasting, he meant he was hungry. No, he said in hunger and thirst, that one different. Then in fastings, that's the apostle of new creation. No wonder he moved in the supernatural power of God. Handkerchiefs and apron, they took it from Paul. They put it on the sick recovered. They put it on demon-possessed people. There was deliverance. The devils checked out. He was a man given to prayers with fasting. Look at Jesus in Mark 1:35. The Bible says Jesus arose early in the morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. He arose a great while. He went out, departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Then verse 37. Mandabaya. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Look at how valuable Jesus was. He was so valuable that all men, all categories of people, all businessmen, people, they, as in every area, politicians, name it. Jesus was valuable to all men. Why? Because he was a man that knew the power of prayer. Am I communicating? He could provide supernatural solution. Jesus could provide supernatural value to all problems of human existence. In Luke chapter 9 verse 28, he took his disciple Peter, James and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. And they went up into a mountain to pray. Next verse, verse 29. He said, and as he prayed, Mandabaya, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistering. Give me this in Amplified. As he prayed, listen, as you pray, the glory of God that is locked up in your spirit will begin to find expression. It will begin to manifest to the outside. See, Jesus literally began to radiate the glory of God. God's glory light began to shine forth. It became like a luminous object. Am I communicating? Things happen when we pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance became altered, different. Aya, it is on the altar of prayer that destinies are altered for good. And his raiment, his cloth was dazzling white. That's the glory of God. The light of God's glory is from within. Am I communicating? Flashing with the brilliance of lightning. Glory to God. You know, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, don't go there. Exodus, media, don't go there. Exodus 34, 28 to 35, it gives an account of how Moses went up into Mount Sinai to collect the Ten Commandments. And he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. He ate nothing, he drank nothing. That's fasting. He was communing with God. And the Bible says when he came down from communion with God, his face, the skin of Moses' face, began to radiate the glory of God. It began to radiate. Why? Through communion, by communing with the God of glory, that there was a rub off. Am I communicating? There was a rub off. He began, the children of Israel had to beg him to cover his face, to veil his face. So that anytime he's about to come to speak to them, he will put a veil on his face. Because the skin of his face was radiating the glory of God. And then anytime he's about to go and commune with God, he will remove the veil. Because God doesn't have a problem with that. In fact, he got it from God in the first place. Hallelujah. Now, ask yourself, did it take 40 days for God to give Moses 10 sentences? The Ten Commandments, is it not 10 sentences? Thou shalt not have any other God before me. Thou shalt not have... It's just 10 sentences. Does it take 10 days to receive 10 sentences? Sorry. Does it take 40 days? No. It's something that God will have given him in 1 minute or 1 second. So what was Moses doing for 40 days and 40 nights? He was enjoying God's presence. He was in communion with God. Am I communicating? No wonder he walked in the supernatural. Like water, the miraculous. The same thing with Jesus. His life was an unending stream of the miraculous. From birth to his death. Do you know that the birth of Jesus was supernatural? Never has it been heard that a woman, a virgin, conceived without contribution from a man. Never in history. Not even till date. Nothing like that. Am I coming? This is not artificial insemination. It's not IVFO. It's not intracytoplasmic sperm transfer. She conceived supernaturally because an angel spoke to her. Spoke God's word to her. The word was made flesh in her womb. His birth was supernatural. Jesus' life on earth, his earth work for 3.5 years, was an unending stream of the miraculous. John said, if the things that Jesus did were to be written, he said, I suppose that the world will not have enough room to contain all the books that will have been written. And then his death was supernatural. Do you know Jesus commanded his own death in record time? He didn't stay for the long period of hours, 12 to 48 hours that criminals crucified usually spend before they die. Jesus commanded his own death. I think it's in 3 or 6 hours. In 6 hours, he commanded his own death. He said, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. It is finished. And that was it. So his death was a miracle. I say his death was a miracle. Even his death was a miracle. He was not supposed to die that fast. The goal of crucifixion is to shame the person and to make the person to suffer pro max. In the Roman Empire, usually when they crucify criminals like that on the cross, it takes like 12 to 48 hours. Some say those that are very strong, they stay up to 72 hours before they die. No wonder they were breaking their leg to hasten the process. Am I communicating? But when they got to Jesus, they didn't break his leg because they realized that he had already died. And to confirm, they pierced his side, blood and water gushed out. So Jesus' death was supernatural. His resurrection was supernatural. He was quickened. The Holy Ghost brought him back to life. And then after 40 days, he taught, after teaching the things concerning the kingdom, he ascended into heaven. His ascension was supernatural. Hallelujah. As he prayed, Luke 9:28, he began to radiate the glory of God. And then next verse. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah. What is common to these three men? Jesus, Moses, Elijah. What's common to them? 40 days prayer and fasting. Even though some people argue that Elijah's fast was not a fast, all of that, you know. Some people say, if angel give you food, you go for 40 days, you know. But he didn't eat for 40 days, all we knew. It was they were all supernatural fast. Glory to God. And then the glory of the Lord was revealed. And then if you come down to 43, is it verse 43? And after Jesus performed that miracle of ministering deliverance, casted out that devil of dumbness and deafness from that lunatic boy that was possessed, that the father cried to the disciple, they couldn't. Jesus casted it out. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. Jesus prayed his way from regular power to mighty power. Remember in Luke 4:14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Now after prayer, the people were amazed at the mighty power of God. Power is in levels. Am I communicating? Rise to your feet. Jump to your feet. So lagabadakabakata. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow. We'll take the other loss. Shemila hatana savrakidas. Are you ready to pray? Shelebrandos kapa. You see, John the Baptist understand the principle of fasting and prayer. No wonder this man will be preaching. The Bible says people from Jerusalem, Judea, all of that, regions round about Jordan, they were flocking to John the Baptist. Supernatural influence. They left the synagogue, bypassed all of that, and then congregated in the wilderness to listen to one bushman who broke all the law of branding and packaging. His food was locusts and wild honey, clothed with camel's hair, There was a supernatural force that was pulling them. Am I communicating? It was not preaching a seeker-friendly message. It was a message of condemnation. It was abusing them, but there was a force that was pulling them. I want you to lift up your voice. Prayer and fasting is a major key to influence. Supernatural influence. I'm telling you, in addition to miracle signs and wonders, prayer and fasting is a major key to supernatural influence in any area and every area of life. Whether you are called to the world of media, entertainment, sport, whether you are called to politics and governance, or you are called to the academia, education, or you are called to the mountain of business, it doesn't matter, or fivefold ministry, is similar principle. Kalibora Balatia, Embreskete. The early church prayed and fasted every Wednesday and every Friday. Jesus prayed and fasted. John the Baptist prayed and fasted. Moses and Elijah, they knew the power of prayer and fasting. Kalibalatai, no wonder they walked and operated in the supernatural in an unusual way. Apostle Paul himself, the man that crisscrossed almost the whole of Asia Minor preaching the gospel, he said through mighty signs and wonders that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel. Apostle Paul, that did so many miracles, signs and wonders, he was a man given to fasting. He said in fastings often, Labatizo Balatia, he was a man of prayer. No wonder he said my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the spirit and power. Come on, lift up your voice. Rendeke frekete. I want you to take time to pray. He says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power, not small, small power, available through prayer. You make the supernatural power of God available, dynamic in its working. Leke suleke tena mandeke baya rando brakatia. You detonate and unlock the power for the miraculous when you engage in heartfelt prayer.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Adon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.